Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shimio Suzuki. Part 2 of this book and the section I'm going to talk about tonight is called Constancy. And it begins, "People who know the state of emptiness will always be able to dissolve their problems by constancy." So I'm not so crazy about that beginning, but I do like the rest of it. And not so crazy about it because reading it, you know, I immediately think, wow, dissolve my problems. Just need to find that constancy. You know? Where is the state of emptiness that people know? So it could be a real horn of delusion that you could seriously impale yourself on. So, going on, it gets better. And the first... So he begins, "The message for us today is cultivate your own spirit. It means not to go seeking for something outside of yourself. This is a very important point, and it is the only way to practice Zen." So, this is talking about cultivating your own spirit. And many, if not all of us here, have heard this many times because, of course, it came from the Buddha himself, be a lamp unto yourself. And so just to go on with Suzuki Roshi, he says, "I have always said that you must be very patient if you want to understand Buddhism, but I have been seeking for a better word than patience. The usual translation of the Japanese word nin is patience, but perhaps constancy is a better word. You must force yourself to be patient, but in constancy there is no particular effort involved. There is only the unchanging ability to accept things as they are." So this ability to accept things as they are, what would this be like? To accept others exactly as they are and not have any interest in changing them one bit. To accept ourselves exactly as we are and not have any interest in dissolving our problems. To accept the whole of the universe exactly as it is, which seems so full of problems. What would it be like not to want to change it? So this chapter spoke to me especially because my very first Dokusan as a Zen student, the Roshi told me that I needed to be patient. And that has always stuck with me. And I've always reflected on it, wondered about it. And since he was Japanese, I thought maybe this is what he was talking about. This word nin, meaning constancy, slightly different perhaps from patience. So what is this constancy? What could it be? Is it a kind of vow we might make? We talk about the three pillars of Zen, faith, doubt, determination. Is this constancy like faith, like something that we hold to no matter what? Could it be some kind of attitude toward the world, toward living, some attitude of maybe radical acceptance? Those words are sometimes used. Or could it be some kind of feeling, like maybe a feeling of equanimity? Is that what constancy means? So many possibilities entered my mind as I reflected on this chapter, and so I sort of came at it backwards, saying, well, what is not constancy? And to me, one thing jumped out, that reactivity might not fall within the realm of constancy. And this reactivity is also something, you know, as we study the way to study the self, that we become very intimate with in our lives as we follow this path of Zen. And I have to say that one really great byproduct of Zen practice for me is that there is increasingly some little bit of opportunity to notice the stimulus and not respond. So when you know, some argument with my husband arises, you know, I can sometimes just notice that moment of the reactivity arising, and in some capacity to resist its pull, in the same way that we might resist the pull of this intro to this section about dissolving our problems. And this resistance is just a moment of opening that comes from being able to attend to the reactivity, to pay attention to it and not so identify with it. For me, that's what it feels like. So instead of just off to the races with the reactivity, it's like a little bit of this is my mind doing its thing, or this is my emotional state that I'm very familiar with. And it's not that I can change it or try to change it, but just the bare act of attending to it opens up the possibility that there it doesn't need to be stimulus response. There's just some spaciousness that helps me to see that I am not just my thoughts, not just my emotions, that there is some connection to something so much more than this immediate mental state that I'm in. And so this reactivity and becoming a little bit wiser about it seems that it is kind of like a bowing to it. So my last talk here was about bowing, and when these moments arise, when we find ourselves caught in reactivity, is there this capacity to bow? And in that bowing, instead of acting, for me it's more often than not not acting. And here feels like constancy to me, constancy to this practice of waking up to what is actually here instead of my conceptualized view of what is here. The piece that we read from Dogen this evening, he says, when we make this very place our own, when we make the path our own, our practice becomes the actualization of reality. So this path, this place, this practice, when we make it our own, when we can be constant with this great undertaking that we have embarked on, and when we can encounter all of our experiences as prajna, as wisdom, as something that is no other than the path, whatever it may be, this constancy to that allows us to make this very place, this path, our very own. So to get back to Suzuki, he says, Nin is the way we cultivate our own spirit. Nin is our way of continuous practice. We should always live in the dark, empty sky. The sky is always the sky. Even though clouds and lightning come, the sky is not disturbed. Even if the flashing of enlightenment comes, our practice forgets all about it. Then it is ready for another enlightenment. It is necessary for us to have enlightenments one after another, if possible, moment after moment. This is what is called enlightenment before you attain it and after you attain it. So, constancy, not vow, not an attitude, not a way of being, not a feeling, but practice with this very heart and mind, this very body. This is cultivating our own spirit, experiencing the reality of this moment instead of our conceptual view of it. Constancy to that. Thank you. Now please feel free to sit comfortably and we'll have our Dharma dialogue and offer anything that comes up.
Thank you, Diane. So I have a question. With constancy, reactivity to the reactivity inside, even if it's only inside and my actions are not reactive, that would also not be constancy, would it, if I'm reacting to the reactivity?
I'm kind of tangled here. Maybe are you trying to analyze it or trying to find a way into it or
no, I'm gonna give you an example.
Yeah.
So I got frustrated and angry at something today, and even though I didn't act it out, I got frustrated and angry that I was frustrating and angry. Notice that happened. So one part it felt like if I wasn't aware of that, it would have just really mushroomed.
The awareness, right? That's what? When the awareness kicks in, almost miraculously, you know?
Yeah.
That's when bow down, thank you, universe, for allowing, yeah, right? And so I don't do something terrible, you know?
Right.
It's such a gift, such grace. And it is something that through practice, I think, that we do cultivate this ability to not so identify with our thoughts and our feelings, right? We are not just this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the constancy you're saying is meeting it as it is and not having to act it out, but this possibility of meeting. And wherever we meet it, you know, maybe the first I'm just this, and then maybe the head on top of that or the head on top of that. But at some point, awareness comes on its own.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
And I think we have to be careful, you know, and you stated that right at the beginning, that it could be that maybe we're looking to, am I doing it right? You know, is this what you mean? Because
I didn't realize that until you said it, but yeah, oh gosh. And it's not being the good Zen student.
Right. And that's the trickiness. That's what I heard in what you were saying.
Okay, yeah, right.
Thank you for admitting it, right? Because it's the trap all through this book. The language that he uses sometimes sets up the perfect Zen student. And since we already have an internalized perfect Zen student, we're screwed. We can't get away from that one. So it's great. So going back to what David just said, you know, the head over the head over the head. So if you feel like you were trying to do it right, having the constancy that Diane is talking about with that is what we're talking about, right? So in other words, it's a great relief.
It is a wonderful relief. there it is again.
Yeah, and now meet the relief.
Yeah. Ooh,
constancy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say that this awareness for me in some situations that are very frequent in terms of interpersonal dynamics, I really feel like an animal. I really feel like a wild animal. It is not like this session has been interesting because somehow it's created this allowance. Maybe it's that spacious pasture. And so the practice does what it does as I am going along. And I'm really floored at how the reactivity isn't necessarily there or the same, but it's excruciating.
Mm-hmm. To be aware of all of this going on.
Just to have the feelings and let them be. It's the most insane thing. Yeah. Seriously.
I'm laughing with you.
Seriously.
That's insane.
Come on. I'm just really floored. It's kind of a recent. It's something that's been an idea. Mm. Oh, that can happen. Oh, so these little, like big toe in the water, 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 and I'm like, oh, okay. And it's not that I don't do a thing that's active. It's that I'm not like. Maybe it's like capitulating to this small, side that's saying,
And well, so Joanne, I'm going to stop you. And what I hear, what I resonate with is this wildness of the mind and how intense it is to be with ourselves. And I think we all have our own version of this, but to sit for almost any length of time, we become more aware, and you know, if we had a projector that projected the content of our mind up on the wall for everyone else to see, I guarantee you there would not be one normal person in this whole room.
Myself would be entertained.
Yeah, that's right.
And you would never die. That's a reference to a Star Trek episode from another time.
But actually, you know, in one of the other readings, he talked about waves are the practice of water. And in some way, problems are the practice of human beings, or emotions, or mind states are the practice. And it's actually quite entertaining. And excruciating. You know, it's like the movie that you cringe. Oh, God! But it can be wonderful. You know, this wild life, utterly uncontrollable. So, but I think what we're trying to do is get out of the control business. And I think this is some of what you're saying, this possibility that we can see. So somebody says something and the wild rage, I will kill you. And we don't have to do anything. We can feel that. We can meet it. Wow, this is how people feel sometimes. And I guarantee whatever you are feeling, you are not alone. We meet life itself as we sit here. It's not just personal. And I think so important to know that when we meet the intensity of this that you describe so wonderfully. So, thank you.
And for me, it also makes me feel so connected to other human beings. right? Because there's no fooling myself of what I as a human being am capable of, and who am I to, you know, judge someone else, because they're exactly me, you know? We all are so much the same. We're human, you know? We're not plants and animals, you know? And just to know ourselves is to know each other and to know that connection that we all have. And it's a great force and power for us and the world, you know, when we get to know, really get to know who we are, and that, yeah, we're not separate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jason?
What she said just made me have I became very impressed by this notion that, like, we are, you know, wild animals, and there is a reptile in us, and there is, you know, all kinds of animals, and the fact that we actually have this ability to let that be and not react to that wildness that's in us is kind of an interesting, it's pretty amazing. But I was going to say with the patience thing, or the constancy, I thought of the constancy as, you know, you had mentioned it as, no, you know what, I'm just going to keep with that. I'm not going to talk about that.
Good comment.
We can all now imagine what we were going to say. Really attribute wisdom to
mystery.
So, this animal wildness that both of you are talking about, right? So my experience is that just sitting still in the middle of this emotional upheaval and wildness can be hugely uncomfortable. And that it seems like it's easier to push it down, to stuff it away, to turn away from it, to not experience this is the easier path. Right? But this practice of sitting still in the middle of it and allowing ourselves to feel it, even though it's so uncomfortable, I think really opens up new possibilities for us. And that this is the path to meeting our difficult emotions in a more sane way, and even though it may feel more crazy to us to sit with them, that it's actually to sit and feel them, to not repress them, is not cut them off from us, right? To not deny parts of ourselves. To not try and cast them away is actually the healthy thing to do, but it is painful. That is my experience. Yeah.
You can verify that?
Yeah.
I was actually very inspired by what you just said, Steve, and what both of you said about the intensity, because when I first started practicing, I was a very intense young woman. I mean, that's probably hard to believe. What? Really? Yeah. So another piece of evidence for you don't really change. but I really hoped that the way the practice would calm me down. It would make things, you know, it would make things more balanced, and I wouldn't be just so passionate about every single thing in the whole universe. And I remember going to hear one of my heroes, Pema Chodron, give a talk at a women's conference on Buddhism, and it was 30 years ago, literally 30 years ago, and I really was confused because I'd been practicing for a few years, and I wasn't getting calmer, and I was really disappointed, and I was sure that I was doing it wrong. I was really convinced that I was doing it wrong. So I'll never forget this thing that she said, and she was a Dharma talk to, you know, big group of people. And she said, when we first start practice, water quenches our thirst, and fire warms us, and the earth supports us, and the air flows by like a gentle breeze. And I thought, oh, yeah. And then she said, and when we've been practicing for a while, fire burns us up, water drowns us, earth buries us, and the air just blows us away. And I knew the truth of that. It just like struck me so strongly. And I really think that that's what we're pointing to, this animal nature. This is about living very vividly. And I think it is actually related, that the capacity that we have to be constant in the middle of that intensity, as Jason was saying, it's extraordinary. It's really extraordinary. And it is, as Steve was saying, it is our way. So how do we do that? It's important, again, to go back to the piece of, I really don't want to be like this. And to then be fully like this, but with this extra added thing that Diane was talking about, this capacity to be constant and meet all arisings. That's what human beings can do. And it's very inspiring.
And just to extend that even more, so we practice this on the cushion, and then when we go into the world, we can meet the fire and the wind and the drownings, right? And we don't have to turn away from it because we're willing, you know, to be with it. Like that we develop a capacity to be with it. And this is just so helpful to the world, I think. You know, that's what we, as I think Zen practitioners, really offer, is our willingness to be present, even if we can do nothing, that we will do our best to be present and awake to whatever happens. It's all the path. That's our realization.
And just one more little thing here, just in case that sounds like too much. It's like I'm not, I thought that this is not what I thought I was getting into. Every one of us has the highly developed capacity to turn away from our experience, and we've been trained to do it since we were toddlers. We all have the capacity to space out, turn away, protect ourselves. That's very well developed. This thing that we're talking about, this constancy, not so well developed. So we're safe. You know, we actually can turn towards the intensity. And if it gets to be too much, something that we learned from childhood kicks in, and we all can shut down. As Jason said, we are also reptiles, and we can just freeze. So it's very safe in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet not safe at all. The idea is to die to the self. So if you're up for that, you're in the right place. And what we're going to do now is practice that some more, just sitting for a few more breaths.